It's a pleasure to be with you all. I have heard about this family, the New Life family here, for several years. I am a new friend of Mark's, but I have known Jonathan Morton for a long time. And he's been telling me about you all, and I'm excited to just be with you this morning and to share a little bit of the scripture and tell you a little bit about the ministry that I'm involved in, and talk about some of the exciting things that God is doing in the earth today. That's one of the joys of my job, is that I get an up-close look at what God's doing around the world, and it's just an overwhelming joy to see the Lord moving in countries all over the world, and to know one of the sad things about our country, we are so busy and so you know, our media and the things that we consume and see regularly and the things we watch, there's not much talk about what God's doing on the planet, and we miss out on the encouragement and joy of that by not hearing about it. So I want to just encourage you today with some stories about how he's moving, and challenge you. That's my hope, is that when you leave here today, you will have you'll be encouraged to think more deeply and ask yourself, you know, what am I doing to take missions seriously? That's what our organization is trying to do. We're trying to take missions seriously in these last days, what we believe are the last days, and I'm hoping to challenge you to do that as a church, as a missions committee here at your church, and then really most importantly, for you in your heart. I'm hoping that the Lord is going to speak to you and just ask you point blank, what are you doing in missions for me? I'll tell you quickly a little bit more about myself. I am married to Kathy, my wife. We've been married 36 years. We've got four kids who are all grown, and three of them are married. One of them has achieved parenthood, and we are so happy about that. A couple of grandchildren. Those who have them know what an incredible joy that is, and we're looking forward to more. I'm very thankful to say they all live pretty close to where I live. They're in Central Kentucky. I'm just south of Lexington in a little town called Wilmore, and it's the home of a little Christian university, Asbury University, seminary, Asbury Seminary, and it's a strange little place, but wonderful. You all have heard, I'm sure, about the strange religion there in Lexington that centers on college basketball. You know that there are people who follow that religiously, and I'd say you have a few of those here in Indiana as well. But please keep praying for those people. It is they need to get saved and get their hearts right. I'm the president of Go International. Again, a mission ministry that's for about 50 years has been encouraging churches and helping people take missions seriously, to go on mission trips, to connect to international partners around the world, to get involved in projects around the world and in our own country. Missions is not just for the world, it is for your neighborhood and your city and your state and this region, this nation, and every nation. And more, we are seeing that the nations are coming to us. For many years, 100 years of missions, we went to the nations, and that's still happening, and we still need to do that. But now we are clearly seeing the nations come to us, and not just from south of the border, but from really everywhere on the planet. One of the joys we had last summer was to do a little vacation Bible school in a neighborhood in Lexington, and we had 100 Muslim children come to this VBS. We went around like you normally do and invited people. Most of the folks didn't speak English, but we had someone who had written a card for us, which we could hand out. And so these kids from Muslim nations were able to hear the gospel and be presented with the love of Jesus. And that was right there in Lexington, Kentucky. And the same is true right here in Indianapolis, Indiana. So I'm encouraging you today to consider what the Lord is doing. I think when we look at Scripture, we can't help but ask, what are we taking missions seriously, and what do I need to do in response to that? I'm going to pray quickly and just ask the Lord to help me here. I need it, and so bow with me if you would. Father, I thank you for this family of Christ, Lord. I thank you for this body and this group, and I ask that you open the heavens on each of their situations, Lord. In a room this size, we know that there are people who are hurting today. There are families that are struggling. There are broken relationships. There are all kinds of troubles, Lord, and we need you to intervene in those, Father. You are the healer and the miracle worker, and so we ask you to intervene in our lives. Lord, heal what's been broken. Draw us close to you, Lord. Help us to walk in your light, walk in your love. And Father, we want to take mission seriously. So be with us this morning. Take my feeble and weak words and use them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to start with that great scripture, and this is going to be from Matthew, the book of Matthew. I'm going to be looking at Matthew quite a bit, so if you have your Bible or your phone or whatever that is, please open that up, and we're going to start at the very end of Matthew. That's chapter 28, and that's verse number, it starts there about verse 16, the Great Commission. Most of us in this room, I suspect, know that verse very well, but it is an important one, and so I'm going to read it to us this morning. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on earth and in heaven has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's a great, a pretty significant challenge that Jesus is making to his disciples. Go to all the nations and make disciples. And if we believe that this scripture is for us and speaks to us today, which I think we all agree that scripture is for us today, then we need to be asking ourselves, am I being obedient to God in relation to missions? If you're anything like me, when I was a young man and gave my heart to Christ, I wanted to make a few deals with him. I wanted to, there were a few things I loved his forgiveness and his mercy and the joy I felt in my heart, but I was a little nervous about a few things that I had seen going on that I didn't really want to be a part of. Number one, I said to him, "Lord, I want to follow you, but please do not make me get up in front of people and talk. That scares me to death. That's my worst fear." And for many of us, it is our worst fear. Public speaking is, we're scared to death of it. And I can tell you, even great preachers, because I've talked to them about it, they still get nervous. And so I said, "Lord, I don't want to do that." And then the other big one really is I really don't want to do any mission stuff. Can I just stay right here? I'll serve you right here in my hometown here. I'll do the best I can to help the poor and do what I can, but I really don't want to go overseas. I don't like the idea of flying. I don't want to do any of that stuff. And I didn't hear any answers at that point from him. It was kind of quiet. It was kind of silent. And so I thought, well, okay, maybe he's okay with that. I want to testify to you today that Both of those things that I was trying to make a deal with him on, he very gently, gracefully, and naturally opened up the doors and said, "Ron, look, this is not that bad. This is he sort of drew me in and I didn't even know what was happening." And so I want to encourage you today that if you've got fears about what the Lord might be calling you to or what he might be asking of you, you need not fear. He has your best interest at heart. He's going to lead you in ways that you can't imagine if you open yourself to him. He's gonna take you places and do things with you and use you in ways that you would have never believed he would do. And it's not gonna be scary. It's gonna be natural. And so let me encourage you from my testimony. I didn't want to do this stuff. I told him that, and he has naturally brought me into it. I've had the privilege of working in about 35 different countries around the world. I've seen a lot of really wonderful, incredible things. I've seen a lot of terrible things, a lot of pain and suffering and poverty. But the Lord has taken me those places and done it without fear and with great joy. So let me encourage you in that today. So back to the question at hand, why should we take missions seriously? I think one significant answer to that is that we need to be obedient to Jesus' commands. The church needs to be obedient to what Jesus is asking. And right here, we have a very clear ask from Jesus. Go and make disciples of all nations. And so it's pretty simple to say, am I going to be obedient to that or not? And let me say again, it is that verse confused me for a long time in that I just wasn't quite sure what I was supposed to do about that. I looked at that and I said, well, that sounds good, but Lord, what do I do? And very naturally, as I opened myself to him and said, Lord, show me, teach me, guide me, direct me, he began putting things in front of me that I couldn't ignore. I was a part of a church, a young church that started, and somebody came and said, hey, we want a group of you all to come down to Guatemala and help us minister to some children living in severe poverty there. And I thought, wow. And there were other friends of mine going. I thought, man, that sounds pretty cool. I need to try that out. And before you know it, there I was on an airplane going to Guatemala. And I would have never chosen that. But the Lord gently opened that door, and he wants to do the same thing for you. Now, many of you, I suspect, have been on mission trips. You have traveled to these places and seen what God's doing. And so you're walking in that obedience and that step. And I'm not here to bring any condemnation. If you haven't done that, that's okay. That's totally fine. There are all kinds of ways that the Lord uses folks. Fact is, there are some places out there that most people just can't go. Or it's not safe to go, frankly. It's difficult to be there. And so we do some work in northern Iraq, and it's a dangerous place. It's a difficult place. And when we take people, we have to be really careful about who we take, because if you happen to have a medical incident while you're there, it's hard to find a doctor. You know, there's just all kinds of limitations on what can be done. And so this word I'm trusting the Lord today will be an encouragement to you, and you'll find yourself excited about what God is asking you to do when he presents it to you. Now these young people here on the front row, I have a little different message for them, and that is, I know for a fact that God is calling each and every one of you to missions. Now that may not be full time. You may not need to move to Kurdistan or Peru or India. You may not need to do that, but I'm certain that he's calling you to follow him in missions. And so I want to encourage you today to ask him to show you, what am I supposed to do, Lord? What am I supposed to follow? I think you guys have just been on a mission trip, and that's awesome. I encourage you to go as often as you can to seek God and to follow him and to see what he's doing, to join him in what he's doing. So obedience is one of the major reasons why we need to take missions seriously. There's another reason that I have been looking at and sort of discovering for myself, and that is this idea that we need to be concerned about the things that Christ is concerned about. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, we need to search the scriptures and say, what is Jesus concerned about? I ought to be concerned about that too. One of the places that I really got a surprise, I'd never thought of this in this way before, was in the Lord's Prayer. A well-known pastor, Stuart Briscoe, who was a British pastor who came to Wisconsin and had a church for many years, wrote a lot of great books, but he pointed this out, that if you look at the Lord's Prayer, you will see what Jesus is concerned about. And I've always thought of the Lord's Prayer as something that we're supposed to just, we're just supposed to say it. You know, we're supposed to pray this way. And as I began to think about it, what is the point of prayer? Why do you think Jesus told us this? I mean, of course, he was trying to teach us how to pray. He was trying to, if we weren't sure what to pray, he gives us a model here. But even more importantly than that, he's asking us to pray for the things that are on his heart. What do we do? What do you do when your child is sick or suffering? You pray out of concern for your child. Your parents, I have aging parents. I'm praying for them and their health concerns. Well, it's not just that I'm praying for them. I'm actually involved in their lives. I'm concerned about them, and if they need me, which they often do, I go and serve them. I go and help them. And so I believe the Lord's Prayer is actually not only a something we should pray, but something we should do. And so when we look at this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we're saying to him, Lord, your name, Father, your name is hallowed. It is glorious. It is revered. But we know that there are places in the earth where his name is not revered. There are many places where the name of God, the Father, is not revered. It is not hallowed. It is not beloved. And so I believe this, he is asking us to be concerned for the places where his name is not hallowed. Your kingdom come, your will be done. He's saying that we need to be praying that the kingdom of God would come on this earth, that this earth would be different going forward. And we need to pray that, but we also need to act on that. And how do we bring the kingdom here on earth? Well, I believe we feed the hungry. We serve the poor. We clothe the naked. We share Jesus' love with hurting people. Those are the things that are going to bring the kingdom of God here on earth. Now, it's not going to be perfect until he returns and brings his kingdom with him. But we have a chance here to impact the world, our world around us, right in our neighborhood, right in our community, right here in our state, our nation, but to the ends of the earth as well. So I'm looking at the Lord's Prayer in a new way, and realizing that if we're going to take mission seriously, we need to be concerned with the things that are that God is concerned with. And I believe the Lord's Prayer helps us there. Give us this day our daily bread. He is a generous God who gives and gives and gives. He provides our daily bread. We need to give him thanks and praise for that, but we also need to be aware of those who need daily bread, who do not have what they need to survive. We have to serve in that way. And so I'm just thrilled as we look at these passages, at the layers, you can never exhaust the wonder and the meaning in these passages. Even after I've read this prayer since I could read, since I was a little boy, and prayed this prayer, it's gaining new meaning for me in these days. And I trust that that's happening for you. If it's not, I encourage you to get your Bible out and ask the Lord, Lord, open this word for me in a new way. And I believe he'll do that. I really do. So we've talked about obedience. Obedience is a mark of discipleship. It is what we must do if we're to follow Jesus. We have to be obedient to him. If we're not obedient to his word, we're probably not following him. And so I encourage you to think about what obedience means in your life. If the Lord is nudging you towards a person, if he's encouraging you, if he puts someone on your heart, if he puts a situation on your heart, if he puts someone who's hurting on your heart, act on that. Walk in that. Call them up. Ask them how you can help. Tell them you want to pray for them. Tell them you want to be involved. That's how the Lord moves and brings his kingdom. If we act on the concerns of Christ, he will respond, and he will gently and gracefully bring us into the place that he wants us to be, and we'll do things we never thought we would ever do, like standing up here talking to you. I watched a whole lot of preachers in my life, and I thought, man, I'm not doing that. That's not for me, and I still get pretty nervous, I'll tell you, but. I feel like as a believer, we all ought to be able to defend our faith in front of people. We ought to be able to get up and give an encouraging word and say, folks, the Lord's been speaking to me about this, and I want to tell you what he's saying. And that's a blessing. Now, you may feel like the Lord's calling you to do that all the time. And if that's true, it's wonderful, and we praise the Lord, and we thank the Lord for Pastor Mark and Pastor Jonathan and others who share the word week after week after week. But I believe every one of us ought to have the opportunity, ought to take the opportunity to share our story, our story of Jesus moving in our lives. And he is clearly moving. He has moved in most of our lives. So let me end with this. What is the result when we take missions seriously? What does it look like when we take missions seriously? And I think there's a couple of clear things that come out of that. And I think you're probably seeing some of that right here in your local church. What happens when we take mission seriously is that we become aware of the needs around us. We begin to look and see that, oh my goodness, this school needs, the children in this particular school need school supplies. The people of this particular village in Nicaragua has struggled to have enough to eat. I need to respond. I need to respond to both of those needs. So I think a result, the result that the Lord is looking for is that we reflect Christ's compassion to the world, to those around us, to those, again, in our neighborhoods and in our cities and around the world. The second, though, and I think more significant result is that we will be actively involved. When we obey God and when we are concerned about what He's concerned about, we can't simply give it lip service. We have to take action. We have to be involved. And so that's part of what Go International, we feel like that's our calling, is to come alongside a church like yours that says, you know what, we're doing some things and we're involved, but we feel like the Lord is calling us to more active involvement. We want to get, we want to expand our ministry, our horizons. We want to encourage our young people to go on mission. We want to encourage our older folks to go on mission where they can. And so Go International has, over our 50-year history, developed wonderful partnerships with leaders, churches, really around the world. I was just a few weeks ago in Chinandega, Nicaragua. You know, it's only a two-hour flight from Miami, Florida to Managua, Nicaragua. But it's an entirely different world when you land on the ground there. This is a country that has suffered and struggled for many, many years. Really, their only economy is agriculture. They are basically farmers. There's hardly any manufacturing. There's hardly any real decent jobs to speak of. And so the people there struggle greatly. And our partner there drove us to the Chinandega City Dump. I don't know how many of you have visited a city dump here in Indiana, but the Chinandega City Dump is entirely different than what you may have seen here. We pulled in, we drove down the road started out pretty good, and as we got closer to the dump, it got worse and worse as the garbage was piled up along the road and in the little creek there. And as we pulled into the city dump, you see that there are half a dozen garbage wagons and trucks dumping their garbage there. And what's so tragic is that there are then dozens, maybe hundreds of people around those garbage trucks with sticks digging through that garbage looking for food, looking for anything that might have any value whatsoever, anything that could be recycled. Children, young people, adults, digging through that garbage. And we sat there for 10 or 15 minutes and watched as people found old bags of food, you know, opened it up and set that aside. That might be their evening meal tonight. I remember specifically one person, it looked like they had a bag full of old cantaloupe rinds or watermelon rinds. You know, all the fruit had been cut off of them, but the rind was still in there, and they excitedly set that aside, and I suspect would be eating that. It's heartbreaking, and people living in that kind of poverty. Well, you know, we can't solve that entirely, but we can certainly go and minister to those people that live in that large slum that surrounds the city dump. There are hundreds of children there. We can go and share Jesus' love with them. We can encourage them. We can cook some hot meals. We can cook rice and serve that to children. We can tell them about Jesus. The pastor that we work with, his heart, we've been helping him build a little community center right outside the dump, a place where kids can gather and be encouraged, hear the gospel, get a hot meal, and hopefully begin to see that Jesus can lead them out of that poverty. It seems impossible, but we believe He can do that. That's one of the places we serve, and It's a joy. It's a painful joy to go there and to be involved in the ministry there. It's hard. It's difficult, but it brings such joy when you have a chance to connect to people there. That's one of the things that's, I think, so wonderful about being able to go is the relationships that you build. You make friends in these places, and you have a chance. They become real people to you. They're not simply someone who is living in poverty, but they have names and they have families and they have lives, and you're able to pray for them specifically and be involved in their life. And so we do that sort of thing in a lot of places. Another incredible story is in Lima, Peru, way down in South America. We began a friendship with a woman by the name of Wilma Grandez. And when we first met her, she was walking into a sort of a mountainous slum. These are the Andes Mountains, which are on the ocean there in the, on the Pacific Ocean. Behind the mountains are the jungles of Peru, and a lot of folks leave the jungle, come over the mountain, and hope to get jobs in the cities. All the cities are along the coast. Most of the cities are along the coast there, and so people are coming out of the jungle. They get to this place, this slum. It's a bit of a desert area, a mountain, but they can buy a little tract of land. They can buy a tract of land that's 20 feet by 20 feet for just a few dollars, and on that land they will build a small shack, usually just four posts. They'll use plastic or maybe palm leaves to build walls and a roof, and they and their children live in that shack, and the parents then will go into the city to work each day. So what happens is a lot of those children get left in the slum there by themselves, children of all ages. So you have five-year-olds taking care of two-year-olds. And Wilma saw this, was moved by it, and began going into those neighborhoods with a hot meal and sharing Bible stories with the children. And she was like a Pied Piper. I mean, she just really, the children loved her and she loved them, and her influence grew, and she began, she built small buildings in several areas in order to have a place for the kids to meet and have a little Bible school. And then eventually she said to us, we really need to build a school. These children are so poor, they can't even go to public school. They don't have enough money to afford a uniform. They have to have a uniform to go to school. I want to start teaching these children. And so she began a school there, and we helped her hire teachers and more. And so kids are now receiving a Christian education in this little school in this slum. And they're doing well. They're getting high marks, and they're beginning to become a part of this. Oh, thank you so much. And so those are just two stories about what we're involved in and what we want to invite you into. We have locations around the world where we're partnering with folks. We have staff who love to come and help teach on missions and help encourage the youth in regard to missions and help you think strategically about how to reach out to your neighborhoods and the people in your area here. So we exist to help the church fulfill its missions calling and to take mission seriously. That's why we exist. And so we want to help you in any way we can. I'm going to be meeting after church with your missions committee, and we're going to be talking about things that that GO might help you with. I just want you to know that I'm encouraged when I hear what you're already doing in missions. It's exciting and it's good, and the Lord is pleased, and I believe He is calling us to take the next step, to go even deeper with Him, to get out there and to ask to take missions seriously. And so I'm going to invite the musicians to come on back up. I think we're going to sing a song. And what my challenge for you today is ask the Lord, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? Just a simple question. What am I supposed to be doing in missions? Pray that. If he doesn't give you an answer, ask Him again. If He does begin to give you an answer, I encourage you to talk to your pastors, talk to your friends, and say, I feel like the Lord is saying this, that I ought to be involved in this. Is that reasonable? What I'd like to say this morning is, my closing challenge is, ask the Lord, how do I take missions more seriously? If you are already feeling the Lord tugging on your heart, I'm going to be standing in the back after the service, and I'd love to talk with you, because I have a few ideas about that. And so I want to just encourage you, bless you. I want you to know the Lord is happy that you are a part of this family and that you are walking with Him. And He longs to walk, to take you places that you thought you'd never go. That you, right now, you might think, I don't want to go those places. But I'm telling you, He will walk you there, and it will be joy and peace and happiness. And we will see the fruit of that obedience and that concern for Christ's church. Let me close this in prayer, and we're going to sing. Father, thank You for Your wonderful word, Lord, that just cuts us like a two-edged sword, Lord. We thank You for it. It's an encouragement. It's a challenge. Lord, we want to be obedient. We want to be concerned about the things that You're concerned about. So, Father, today, speak to us. Continue to challenge each one of us. Continue to challenge the church, Lord. As we worship You, Father, we ask that You just inhabit our praises. Thank You for this worship team. Bless them. Encourage them. Father, thank You for this church family. Thank You for Pastor Mark and all the team that's here, Lord, the deacons and all the volunteers, Father. Lord, reveal Your presence in this church. We love You today.